Well, good morning. The real faithful. Just kidding. When I was about a sophomore, maybe a junior in college, a friend of mine named Andrew and I decided one summer to take a trip. We were going to go to Washington, D.C., New York City, and Boston to see one of my uncles, to see a friend in New York City, and to see his sister up in Boston. And so we were college students, and we weren't as bright as maybe we thought we were. We got lost a couple of times on our trek. We had a flat tire. We had to replace some engine parts, you know, all those kinds of things. When we got to New York City, we were down in the heart of the city, and one of the things we wanted to do is to take in a couple of shows, most likely off-Broadway shows, just to sort of see some theater and to see what that was like. Both of us had been in operas and in musical theater, and so we were very interested in that. And so you can get tickets on the cheap. So there's a place you can go, and you can get tickets that are available for that day. And so we found a little dinner theater, and we thought this would be great. So he and I got tickets to that when we showed up. We weren't dressed quite right for the evening, but that was okay. So we got seated, and we were at a table for four, and so we had two people across from us, two women, and then the two of us. And as we got sat down, we began to do our introductions. Well, you know, where are you boys from? Well, we're from Kansas. Oh, where are you from? Well, we're from Connecticut, and we're down here to go shopping. And so the conversation began to sort of ensue, and one of the women was particularly inquisitive. She said, "So what's it like so far out west?" I said, it's not much different than here. I said, there's not as many people. She goes, "Now, do you have paved roads yet?" I'm not kidding. She said this to us. We said, "Well, yeah, actually, we've got paved roads." And I, being sort of the kind of person I am, I said, "We even got indoor plumbing." And then she said the most bizarre thing. She says, "Well, how's the Indian problem these days?" And she went on because she'd heard that people were still getting killed. And we thought this was sort of strange. But this was part of the conversation that kind of happened. And then we didn't really know much about the show that we were going to see. It was just called The Line. And the show starts off with someone who was coming out and was standing there in line. And then the next person comes and sort of joins them. And the play is really about a 2 or 3 hour period, about six people standing in line. And all kinds of things happen. They're sort of standing there, a police officer comes, they're jockeying for position, there's a romance that breaks out, they break up by the end of the story, they sort of knock each other out and keep trying to get the first person in line, and then finally sort of the punchline at the end of the story is the person says, "I'm not sure what we're waiting in line for. In fact, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be in line." And you never really find out what it was they were there for anyway. And I remember being sort of puzzled, like I was by the people that we're sitting at dinner with, who didn't seem to know much about Western states. And then I was puzzled by the story. What was the writer trying to get us to think about? And the interesting thing is, it was really good art because that story has stayed in my mind, and I can still remember and see that play and sort of my puzzlement, wondering why people were doing what they were doing. So what are you waiting for in your life? I think the brilliance of the play was to show us that we often stand around waiting for things, and we don't always know exactly why we're doing it. We wait. We often make deadlines for ourselves. "I'm going to wait until such and such a time to do X. I'm going to wait until this," or maybe we're not always filled with the kind of purpose that we need in our life, but we're often waiting. And that's one of the themes that we have in the season of Advent, is that of waiting and expectation. I even think this is such a critical thing because in our society, we are so much observers of tragedy. Do you know what I mean by that? We stand back, and through our television and through our phones and our tablets and our iPads, we witness news from throughout the world, even in our own towns, and we see it as observers and not always participants. We sort of wait for someone else to fix it. We wait for someone else to weigh in. We wait and we watch. And I think one of the biggest challenges as people of faith is how we're willing to wade in to those difficult things. How do we be willing to take some risk in our life to step out into the world's problems? To use our talents, our skills, our abilities, to be willing to step into them as people of faith. So what were people waiting for in the gospel? What were they waiting for in the person of Jesus Christ? What were they waiting for when we say that the Savior of the world is going to come? Their world was different than ours in some ways, but in other ways, not at all. They had rules and expectations. They had ways of understanding things that you weren't supposed to get involved. Often, if you violated certain rules, you could find yourself literally homeless. Literally outside of society. There were powers and principalities in the governments of the time that make sometimes ours pale in comparison. And it was so strange. And we have this story about Joseph that happens. We don't know much about Joseph other than he was a carpenter. He doesn't make too many appearances in the scriptures. In fact, he doesn't really speak at all. But here's a story that we have about him. Joseph is betrothed. So we don't use that word in our society. We don't think of it. It's not really engaged. It's something different. In that time, marriages were often arranged. And so Mary is promised to Joseph, and it's not quite time for them to be married. And so they're living, as the scripture says, in different places. And Mary is found to be pregnant. And we hear this little glimpse. And it says Joseph was going to try, and Joseph is a righteous person and was going to dismiss her quietly. We might not be able to read quite what that means, but really what it means is Joseph was not going to take the opportunity to publicly shame her, which he had every right to do. And instead, he's trying to take a better road and just to move on quietly. And then he goes to sleep. Never a good idea when God's around. And he has a dream. And in the dream, the angel comes to him and says something that we'll hear a lot in the narrative that we have coming up as we hear the nativity story again. He says, Joseph, don't be afraid. And this time he says, don't be afraid of society. Don't be afraid of what people are going to say. Don't be afraid to stay with Mary. And we might not get just how much God is asking Joseph to do. Because to stay with her is to admit, in some way, sin publicly. To stay with her is to do something that the world will talk about. It puts him at risk for his place in the society. And God says, do not be afraid. Stay with Mary, for something amazing is going to happen. It's what you've been waiting for. The Messiah will come. And Joseph takes it up. Joseph stands with Mary and commits to being Jesus' earthly father. And to me, I think we can get so many things out of the story in terms of our own call to stand up with those around us. And sometimes to be willing to take those risks, to ask that question, what are we waiting for? But to get involved with others. Because isn't God stirring you up? Stirring you up in some way to stand. Stirring you up in some way to maybe go against a little bit of society convention, to be with the right people. So that you can help them, the people that God would call you to help. I think it makes us a little uncomfortable. Maybe a lot. Waiting. Anticipation. Calling. All these words that we hear throughout the season of Advent as we prepare to hear the Christmas story again. What if you look out in the world with all your talents and all your abilities and all the amazing gifts that God has given you, that you've earned, that you've built, all those things, what if you look out and ask God, what would you have me do? How can I be like Joseph in the story? What is my part? You know, it's like in that play, sometimes we don't really know why we're standing around. Sometimes we don't really know what we're doing. Sometimes we're just sort of jockeying for position, trying to get up in front, and once we get there, we're not sure why. And what we're being offered in this is purpose and meaning. Messiah is the one who's come to save. And we hear Jesus' other name today, Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us in our struggles. God is with us in our calls. God is with us in the things that we're called to do, the hard things and even the easy things. We have to wonder why we're still waiting. If God is with us, what are we waiting for? So what are you waiting for? Amen.